This is Christian Questions.
Eric Liddell once said, "You will know as much of God and only as much of God as you are willing to put into practice." Good morning, I'm Rick, and this is not your typical Christian commentary as we look at Bible-related topics from a different perspective.
And I'm Jonathan, and that different perspective has its basis in three things. Godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, always done in a politically free zone.
Folks, thanks for joining us today. This is a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, so let's get started. Jonathan, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, Rick. Well, you're not in the studio. That's what's going on.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a snowstorm last night. We didn't get the big blizzard like they had south of us, but a foot of snow late in the day makes it so I can't get out of my 200-foot driveway, so I'm home at my dining room table.
Nice, cozy, and warm.
That's right.
Nice. Well, Rick, our question for this morning is, so where do I start? And our theme text is found in James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
So where do I start? That's the question. And folks, tell me if this is familiar. You've decided that your life feels pretty empty and that you have tried and that what you have tried and how you've tried it just doesn't work. You know there's got to be more meaning to life, and so you're drawn to Christianity and you accept Jesus. For a while, you feel better, but slowly you get that gnawing feeling that nothing has really fundamentally changed in your life. What do you do? How do you find the real bottom line change that you've been looking for and actually let it change you? If this description fits you or someone that you know, then stay with us now because we're going to get basic and practical. The statement, I'm a Christian, but want to really be a Christian. Where do I start? So, Jonathan, that is our subject matter for this morning. Where do I start? How do I allow Christianity? How do I make Christianity the agent of real serious change in my life with the several steps that need to happen? And I think that a lot of people end up with this question.
They do, Rick.
So several weeks ago, I put this particular question out. This whole idea was the idea of one of our CQ staffers, and she said to me, you know, why don't we do a program on this? Because a lot of the questions we get into the website seem to crawl along this direction. So what we did is several weeks ago, we put this exact question out to many of our Christian Question staff and asked for their very practical input on what they thought were some of the most important things for a new Christian to focus on. So today's content is going to be quite different than usual. It's largely made up of the advice of several individuals that volunteer with us here at Christian Question.
And that means no sound bites. But that's sometimes good, Rick.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, we are going to be quoting from several different individuals, and so that's kind of the sound bites. It's just our own voices here.
Nice.
But really, it was fascinating to see all of the input that came in and then just to organize it into an order, because it seemed to be some kind of almost a natural order of the things that so many individuals told us.
That was the neat thing about it when we're looking at the outline, how it just flowed so nicely.
Yeah, and so you can tell it was well thought out. It was very much based on personal experience, and those things are really, really important. When you can speak out of experience and then you put it into serious thought, generally you come up with something that has great value. So as we get started with this, folks, we'd love to hear your perspective on, okay, I've decided I'm a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. Well, what do I do? What's the most important thing, or what are some of the practical, straightforward steps that you see as necessary to help us along that particular road? Our number here is 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central, and that means we're on right now.
And don't forget, you can also contact us with your app on your smartphone, and we can read your comments over the air.
Okay. So, Jonathan, let's get started with the theme scripture. You already read it, but let's just read it again because that happens to be the scripture that our first CQ staffer used to base her comments on.
Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
So that's an important scripture. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Kathy, one of our staffers, what did she write?
After thinking a bit about it and remembering my own start, the scripture that comes to mind is, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. James 4:8. I love the thought that the scriptures are full of invitations for us to come boldly unto the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16.
Okay, so we want to break this program into pieces, and as we go through the different comments from the different individuals, we're going to come up with a focus point that is going to say, okay, let's sum that up in one line. So the focus point here is what?
View the call to Christianity as exactly what it is, an invitation.
I think this is a really, really great place to start. The idea of, okay, I want Christianity to change me. Well, how do I get it to do that? Well, first of all, you got to realize that Christianity is an invitation. And although there are many aspects to this invitation, we won't go into, you know, God calls through Jesus and all of that. There's one key point, and that is, and it's a really simple point, Jonathan, are you ready for this?
Ready.
Okay, when you get an invitation, you answer it.
Okay? But you've got two answers, right?
Right. You decide whether or not to accept it. And I think that's an important place for us to start. Matthew 11:28-30.
Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And again, when you look at that verse, Jesus, there's an invitation in those first few words of that verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what Kathy wrote is actually very profound. The scriptures are full of all of these little invitations to come up higher, to change, and there's something there for you. So the idea here is we're invited. Once you accept an invitation, well, what do? You comply with its conditions, and you want to look and be your best.
And
you
know, Rick, this made me think of the scriptures in Luke 14:15-24, the wedding banquet.
Yes.
It's an invitation to come in. It's a picture. It's a parable.
And in that particular story, what happens is there are several invited who have excuses as to why they can't come.
That's right. Someone bought some cows. They're too busy. Someone got married. I don't have time for this.
Right. And so the invitation then goes out to other individuals and to others until the wedding banquet is filled.
Right.
So the first thing is to realize that coming to Jesus as a true follower of Christ, and Jonathan, let me just state here very, very quickly that I think that there's a difference, and again, we're not going to go into this difference in today's program, we'll allude to it, but I think there is a difference between looking at and appreciating Jesus and his sacrifice and coming to him and following him as a footstep follower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Good point.
Go ahead.
No, that's a good point.
There's a big difference between those two things, and we are really specifically focusing this morning on the idea of what does it mean to come to Jesus and want to be a footstep follower of Christ. So Jesus says, come to me if you're weary and you're heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, okay? It sounds like this big open invitation, and in many ways it is, but if we accept the invitation, then if you're going to come to Jesus, you have to allow him to give you rest. You know, it's not like you come to Jesus and you and he hands you an envelope, and when you go home, you open up the envelope. Inside of it are two tickets to free rest. That's not what it is. It's something much, much more than that. James 4:8, the last part of James 4:8.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Okay, that's part of the process. That's part of what it means. Those are part of the conditions of coming to Jesus so we can actually be given rest.
So change must take place.
Right. And now, but the idea is, okay, well, what change? How do we change? Where do we get the idea for change? That's what this program really is all about. But you have to understand the invitation first. So let's assume we get this invitation, and now that we're going to the event, what should we expect that will be expected of us? You know, okay, what's going to happen once you get there? Well, Paul, another Christian Questions contributor, wrote this.
A scripture I would use is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
So when I look at this scripture, and we're going to get into Paul's breakdown of the scripture in just a second, but before we do that, I look at this scripture and I think, okay, if you look at this in the context of I'm answering the invitation, you know, one of the things you say is, what am I going to wear? Okay, how am I going to present myself to be in harmony with this invitation? And the answer that Paul wrote in was what the Apostle Paul wrote, is I determined to know nothing of you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, Jonathan, let's go into more of what our friend Paul wrote about the Apostle Paul.
There is a lot in this little phrase. Number one, don't compare yourself with others.
Okay. And if we are trying to figure out how to be a real true footstep follower of Christ, that's one of the important places for us to start. Don't compare yourself with others. Now, that doesn't mean you don't use others as an example.
Exactly.
But to compare yourself to someone else, generally we pick somebody that can do something that we would like to do way better than us, and our comparison ends up, you know, beating ourselves up to a pulp.
Yeah, that'd be depressing.
Yeah, and that's not the point of using others as an example or an inspiration. So that's a really important part of this particular scripture. What else did Paul write?
The second point he mentioned is rely on the blood of Jesus only. Accept the forgiveness He gives. Forgive yourself. Forgive others.
All right. So I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Him crucified means that forgiveness is available to each and every one of us should we want it, and of course because we need it. And so forgiveness is in order. We should be able to forgive ourselves because we are forgiven in Jesus, and we should therefore be able to forgive others as well. And what did Paul write as the third point from this particular scripture?
Be willing to be crucified with Jesus for the purpose of blessing all the families of the earth. Now, Rick, most Christians today would say, what is he talking about? Blessing all the families of the earth. That's traditionally not what is heard from the pulpit.
Well, and the idea of that is Christianity is, it really is, therefore, more than just the purpose of bringing you to Christ and giving you salvation for your life, because the scriptures do indicate that it is through Jesus and through His body, through the church, that all the families of the earth will be blessed, as in the Abrahamic promise.
And it goes along with thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Exactly.
And He died for the just and the unjust, and especially He died for the church. That means everyone else too. So yeah, good.
So there's a lot more to this. So the first place that we're starting here is, look, it's an invitation. Treat it like an invitation. And then as we treat it like an invitation, make sure we're putting Jesus as the centerpiece of our very lives. So the question now is, do we truly realize that we've been invited to a new life, to be lived in a new way with the promise of entirely new results? If you want to become a true follower of Jesus, and Jonathan, as we go into this break, this is an important question, what is it that we need to do right here and right now?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick, our subject this morning. So where do I start? Coming up, so you answer the invitation for the new life. What does that really mean? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Questions. Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick, our subject this morning. So where do I start? We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. Join our conversation by calling 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. Or you can message us on your app. And if you'd like to write to us, you can write to us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320.
Okay, so we're talking about where do I start? You want your belief in Christianity to do more than just be a belief that you sort of pay homage to here and there. You want it to be something that really changes you. What do you do? Well, first thing you do is you treat it like an invitation, because that's what it is. Then you decide that, okay, I've got to really make sure that what I am focusing on is Christ, and knowing Christ in each and every one who also considers them a Christian, and being forgiven for all of the things that where I have gone wrong. So starting on the path happens by invitation, then the acceptance of that invitation. Now we need to be willing to walk on a path which is a path not designed by us, but by God through Jesus for us.
So not our will, but His will in our lives.
This is a really hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So because to get that part of it is a really, really major challenge, because we're so used to, especially in our society, in our way of dealing with life, of doing things the way we think is best.
Yes, of course.
So our next focus point then is what?
Submit to God and His will daily, seeing each day as a new opportunity to submit.
So the idea is that once you give your life to Jesus, and here's a big mistake that a lot of Christians make, I think. They give their life over to Jesus, and then they say, well, my life is given to Jesus, so I'm okay. And the mistake is saying, I'm okay. The true challenge is to give your life to Jesus and then remind yourself every day that this is the way I'm supposed to be living.
Right.
And have it transform. So let's go to another one of our CQ contributors. What did she write?
Joy wrote, I would use these principles which I am adopting in this new year, but which encompass principles that have helped me throughout my Christian life. Some simple steps to take each day as I begin a new year. James 4, 7 through 9 helps us know how to be humble.
Okay, so it's interesting that, you know, Kathy, we started with Kathy in the invitation. She picked James 4, 8, and then Joy, in her writing, goes to James 4, 7 through 9, because it's got the same kind of, okay, let me get started kind approach. So let's go through James 4, 7 through 9, and particularly verse 7, Jonathan, has the two real keys of what Joy's points are going to be.
Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom.
But that sounds depressing, huh?
It does.
Be miserable. Welcome to Christianity. Mourn and weep. Welcome to Christianity. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Isn't Christianity great? But the whole idea is to be sober about your life. That's what those things are telling us, to be serious about your life. Don't take things lightly. So Joy, in her writing, made two specific comments. What are they?
That's right, Rick. She started off with submit to God. Pray specifically for a leading to do something or place a priority on something I would not otherwise have done. And in prayerful obedience to obey.
So the idea is to be looking for specifics for things to do that maybe you wouldn't have done, but because you're now following after Christ, you would do now. Look for those opportunities, and they will come up in your life. I can promise you, if you're truly trying to follow Jesus, if you pray for those opportunities or those priorities to be presented to you, they will be. And then you've said you want to obey Christ, So obey the obedience that you said you were going to put in place.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Okay? So submit to God. That's the first part. What's the second thing she wrote?
Resist the devil. The word devil means traducer, to misrepresent, false accuser. Don't believe his lies and do not falsely accuse or misrepresent. We can resist the false accuser by identifying the lies or exaggerations we tell ourselves and challenge them.
So, you know, the interesting thing is we often think about, you know, when you're dealing with lies and so forth, you think about maybe what other people might tell you as a misrepresentation of truth.
Okay.
But what Joy is suggesting here and what she wrote for that person who wants to really get themselves transformed as a new Christian, what she is saying here is that what about the lies and the exaggerations that we tell ourselves? And, you know, Jonathan, we do that all the time. We can tell ourselves exaggerations about our weaknesses that bring us discouragement. We can tell us exaggerations about our great strengths, which bring us too much pride. So she's saying strip away that and just try to find the truth about what it is that you are and who you are, and follow God that way. Because God can't communicate to you through lies. He has to communicate to you through truth.
Now, I always love the definition of humility that you bring out in different programs. And isn't that the accurate assessment of what or who you really are?
Right, right. And so, look, if you do have talents, humility recognizes those talents. If you do have weaknesses, humility recognizes those weaknesses. So it really does come down to submit to God and resist the devil. These are two inseparable points. And I think that's really important. You can submit to God, and we can think we're doing okay, but if we're not resisting the devil, then we're not really submitting to God. 1 Peter 5:6-8 actually tells us that in a slightly different way.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Submit to God. Be a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.
So the first two verses there were about humbling yourself, casting your anxiety on him because he cares for you. See, that's the submitting to God. You don't cast your anxiety on anybody else unless you're making yourself vulnerable to them.
Good point.
See, we generally like to keep our anxiety all to ourselves. Or we like to complain about it, you know, just so others can, you know, feel sorry for us.
Okay.
but to truly give it away, to cast it onto God, really means you're submitting to him, because that's what it takes to trust him. And then the very next verse says, but be serious. It says, be sober of spirit. Be serious. Be on the alert. Because as you go through life and you do have your anxieties, the devil is looking to devour you because of them. So if we are not resisting the devil, we're not fully submitting to God. And if we're not fully submitting to God, then we're not fully resisting the devil. Okay, folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about what do you say to somebody who is a new Christian or is coming back around to getting their Christianity in order and trying to be serious. What do you say to them to help them just really get their feet firmly on the ground and start walking that true Christian life? We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central, and that means we're on right now.
Christian Questions, a voice of reason in a world that's lost its way. Keep in touch at ChristianQuestions.com.
So, and folks, also don't forget to message us on through your Christian Questions app if you'd like to make a comment on the program, but you don't want to call in. We can take those messages and we can try to get them on the air as well. All right, so submitting to God includes, by very definition, resisting the devil. That's what the point we're trying to make. This means that in our Christian walk, whether it is a new walk or an experienced Christian walk, we can easily tell how our God submission task is going by monitoring our Satan-resisting efforts. And Jonathan, sometimes I think we separate these two things, and that's a foolish mistake. You're not submitting to God unless you're resisting Satan. Okay? So, now you have to build it further. You got to go further. How do we find the will to continually submit to God? I mean, because that would be a hard task, wouldn't you think?
Oh, absolutely. You need to have a reason that's so important, so your focus is so there every day that you don't forget.
Right. So how do you find that? What's the reason? Well, you know, you can say all kinds of things. You can say, well, I know that Jesus died for me. And that's a wonderful reason. But is it something that truly, truly gets you going and gives you the why inside of your own personal heart? It may not be, and it may be. I don't know. But you've got to find your personal why. So how do we do that? Well, let's go to another CQ staffer and see what she wrote.
Well, Lonnie wrote, a few months ago, our Bible class had a study about inspiration. As we talked about the things that inspire us, we discovered that inspiration can be made different, can be many different things for many people. One person may deeply be moved by music or art, while another may analyze a scientific detail of nature and be profoundly touched with the awe of our magnificent Creator.
So she's suggesting here that inspiration is a very, very integral part of being that new Christian and finding a way to make your life a different kind of life. So our focus point here then is what?
Find what truly inspires you and hold it fast in your heart, mind, and hands.
And, you know, we stated it that way very, very specifically. You find what truly inspires with you, and then you hold it fast in your heart. And usually that's where inspiration finds its home. It's in your heart.
Yes.
But we want to suggest that you hold that inspiration fast also in your mind, because it's got to be part of the thinking process. It's got to help to change and provoke your thinking. And you hold that inspiration fast in your hands, because it has to help us in what we do. So the idea is to find whatever it is that inspires you and hold on to it so tightly that it really affects every aspect of your whole life. Lonnie continues in her writing. She says, I think a primary step for us is our Christian walk is to explore and discover what really lights a fire under us and truly motivates us to act, to get going, and to channel that energy into service for the Lord. And for each of us, that answer may be a little different. As we grow and mature, what inspires us to be about the Lord's business may change. So it will be an ongoing process to rediscovery throughout our life. And Jonathan, these are just sound principles of finding your way through life.
And I'm sure everyone is thinking about what gets them going every day to serve the Lord because of what the Lord's done for them.
So, and you know, she makes a really important point that it comes down to the same thing may not inspire me today that inspired me a year ago, because my experience has been different. I've seen different things. I'm thinking hopefully more maturely. So you've always got to be revisiting what really makes me want to go as a Christian.
So your why can change as you follow Christ.
Right, and specifically those real strong points of inspiration can change and can develop because of your experiences and your maturity and even the conditions of the world. So let's continue with a little bit more of what Lonnie wrote.
But the truly vital question is, how do we remain inspired? The Christian walk is more like a marathon than a sprint. In a marathon, there are times that you feel great and you're striding along with ease, but there are also times of fatigue, discouragement, and hitting the wall. So what do you do? I was reminded of a television commercial that quoted Newton's law of motion. A body at rest tends to stay at rest, while a body in motion tends to stay in motion. Don't stop. Even if you feel like you are not moving mountains for the Lord, move a rock or a stone or even a pebble. Just keep moving.
And that is so well stated. You know, because the idea is we want to move mountains, right?
Oh, we do.
we want to do the big thing, right?
Sure.
You know, we want to say, look at what I can do because of my faith. But for most of us, our lives just don't have a lot of those opportunities. And so her point is, look, just keep moving. You know, it's like in that movie about the fish, the little fish, the clownfish, Finding Nemo, the kids movie.
Yes, yes.
Remember, he meets that other fish that has some psychological issues. I don't remember her name, but she kept saying, just keep swimming.
Dory.
Okay, yeah.
It's my wife giving me this information.
Okay.
I don't know.
But see, I mean, the point of this is so profound. Just keep moving. Maybe you can't move mountains for the Lord at this stage in your life. Maybe you can't even move a rock. Maybe you can't even move a stone, but you can move a pebble. You can do something. That inspiration can carry you through whatever that next small step might be. And that's the key to our understanding what to get started with. It doesn't have to be big. It just has to be movement. So to me, it's a great way to understand what's important in our Christian lives. And so, Jonathan, as we go into this break, what we're beginning to see are the pieces come together for changing ourselves.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, so where do I start? Coming up, inspiration is great, but what do we do with it? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions. You're listening to Christian Questions. See videos, hear past shows, and talk to us at ChristianQuestions.com. Here's Rick and Jonathan.
Welcome back. Our subject for today is, so where do I start? We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. Join our conversation by calling 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. Or, don't forget, you can message us on your app.
So, Jonathan, as we get back to it, we're trying to find the practical little steps, the things that are necessary to help us get started and get going and really have Christianity do something in our lives rather than just be a place to deposit ourselves for Sunday morning, go to church, and then the rest of the week we just kind of go along to get along. So we were talking in the last segment about inspiration and what one of our CQ contributors, Lonnie, was writing about. You know, look, even if you can't move mountains, move a pebble. Keep moving. Just keep moving forward. And she referenced the scripture in Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary.
So, when you find what truly inspires you, it can give you that adrenaline rush that makes you want to conquer the world in the next 5 minutes. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and it feels so good. It's like, yeah, man, I'm ready. Just bring everything on right here, right now. And, you know, that's great. And while this is an exhilarating feeling, it certainly is not a lasting transition. So what do we do with the inspiration? How do we find the lasting transition out of that exhilarating feeling? You know, and Jonathan, the thing I really loved about having so many individuals contribute to the input on this program is they were each coming from their own perspective, and when you put them together, you get this great big lesson that is so incredibly practical. So Lonnie's looking at big inspiration helping you to do little things. So now let's go on to another CQ staffer and see what she wrote.
Well, Stephanie wrote, okay, so I'm looking at, so where do I start? And my thought is, for those who are new Christians and want to lead a Christian lifestyle, but don't know how to get that lifestyle going, it's like taking baby steps. My suggestion would be to start each day with a scripture and a thought that goes along with that scripture, something to set the tone for the day.
Okay, so what Stephanie is focusing on is, look, you're going to have to take baby steps because that's the way you get started and that's the way you learn to walk and then you can learn to run. So the focus point here is really simple. It's a question. How do you eat an elephant?
What?
Well, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time. Take small steps with a daily inspirational focus and train your mind towards spiritual things. Small steps with a daily inspirational focus and then train your mind towards spiritual things. Small steps, Jonathan, small steps are what can really make a difference for us in our lives.
It sounds like an athlete. It's conditioning.
Yes, absolutely. And you don't get to the big athletic stage, you know, the biggest stage, the Super Bowl is coming up in a few weeks. You don't get to that stage unless you learned the very, very small basics first. So Stephanie's suggestion is, okay, start every day with a scripture and something inspirational that goes along with that scripture, and then here's what she says next about how to use it. This is really, really good, basic, simple advice that anybody can start with tomorrow.
Once you've set the tone for the day, challenge yourself by seeing how often you can reflect on this scripture and thoughts, and how they can apply to your daily activities. I feel that once we make it a habit to keep God and His plan in the forefront of our thoughts, then everything else starts to change in our lives. We start changing our daily habits, such as what do we do in our free time, how do we interact with people in our lives, etc. And we can manage our emotions better too. Once we begin to focus on a relationship with Christ rather than a relationship with everything or everyone else in the world, we become more content and angry less easily.
Okay, so when I'm reading what Stephanie wrote here, you can see, at least I can see, this is really coming from her own personal experience.
It really is.
And just like everyone else that we read comments from, all of these individuals who actually donate some of their time and volunteer to help us with this program, this is a real practical way. Look, baby steps, and one of those baby steps is simple. Have a scripture at the beginning of each day and an inspirational thought with that scripture, and then challenge yourself to see how often during the day you can come back to that scripture, remind yourself of the scripture. And her point is that what will happen is your day will form itself around lessons from that scripture.
That's wonderful. What a great idea.
And it's simple. It's simple. She's not saying, well, memorize a chapter of the Bible every day. She's saying, read one scripture and something inspirational with it at the beginning of the day, and then keep that with you. You know, make sure it stays with you. It's like eating a big breakfast. You want it to stay with you throughout the day. That's such an important way to make our lives different by applying the idea of actual change. So, you know, in Lonnie's comment before this, it was, okay, find what really makes you go. And now Stephanie is saying, find what really makes you go, and now take baby steps with it. And then before that, who was before that? Let me just, before Lonnie was Joy. Joy was saying, make sure you submit to God and you resist the devil. And before that, Paul said, make sure you know nothing else in life except through the eyes of Jesus and Him crucified. And then Kathy started out with, and remember, it's an invitation. So you put all these together and you say, wow, you know what? Life can take on a really good, solid, logical, inspirational order, and I can see how change could actually occur.
Nice.
So it's really beginning to make a whole lot of sense here. Now, let's continue. We've got Stephanie's baby steps suggestion in place and some practical application for that, and there's a great scripture that goes along with that, Philippians 4:8.
Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
All right. So now, Jonathan, here's a practical application to put in place what Stephanie had written as a suggestion. You look at that scripture, and it's got all these different things, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely. Those are several different things. A great suggestion is you've got one scripture, take just one aspect of the scripture for tomorrow. When you go to work on Monday, whatever is true, think on those things. When you go to work on Tuesday, whatever is honorable, think on those things. When you go to work on Wednesday, whatever is right. You get the point?
Yeah, good idea.
So, simple baby step to start to refocus your mind. And it's a short enough text where you can even write it down on a little piece of paper and keep it in your pocket or something so that it can help you to change where you're going, to help you to apply your Christianity in a bigger way. There's a great quote here from Vance Havner.
We have suffered from the preaching of cheap grace. Grace is free, but it is not cheap. People will take anything that is free, but they are not interested in discipleship. They will take Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord.
So the thing that he's saying is and we talked about this distinction earlier in the program. The idea is don't get involved in just being an appreciator of Jesus if what you truly are trying to do is to follow Jesus. Okay, most people who attend lots and lots and lots of churches, I think, are real good appreciators of Jesus. But they're not necessarily looking to follow Jesus because they like their lives as they are. That's not what following Jesus really is. That's not what discipleship really is. It's bigger, it requires much more dedication, it requires much more how-to, and it requires much more discipline to put that how-to into place. So, inspiration combined with daily baby steps can truly be a transforming process because it joins our biggest thinking, our inspiration, with our smallest tasks, our baby steps. So, you've got that now. Now, how can our small steps bless others? And now we've got to go to a whole different aspect of this, and that is the idea that there's more than just me involved in this picture. There's a whole lot of other people. So let's go on to what another CQ staffer wrote.
Lori wrote, my advice for a new Christian is to get involved in projects where your skills can be put to good use. Not only will you be serving the Lord with something that comes naturally to you, that you enjoy, but your time will be spent serving instead of doing less productive activities. An added bonus is getting to know your fellow co-laborers in Christ a little better, developing strong relationships in the Lord for years to come.
So Lori's advice is, and again, you know, the interesting thing is none of these individuals talk to each other. You know, and so there wasn't a conversation between this one, you say this and I'll say that. But they all came at this from a different perspective, and what you end up with is this whole combination of very, very sound advice. So Lori is saying that another great way to really have your life be transformative is to get involved, to volunteer your time, do something to further the cause of Christ, and that way you are now interacting with others on a very practical level. And that brings us to the next focus point, which is what?
Learn to go beyond receiving, to contributing, and then to co-laboring.
See, too often we look at Christianity as a way to receive, a way to be blessed, and it is. But it is also a way to give and a way to bless. And if we don't, with as much enthusiasm, approach it as a giving, blessing environment as we do as a receiving and being blessed environment, we're missing half of the Christian story, and it's a really important half.
And Rick, the uniqueness of the body of Christ, everyone has different talents and abilities, and it's neat to see everyone work together for the cause of Christ.
Yeah, and you know, Christian Questions is a great example of that. There are so many people that volunteer their time for this effort, and we have so many different talents, and you know that those who have certain talents won't do another job because it's just not what they're good at, but they'll do what they can do, and when you put it all together, this is what we come up with. 1 Corinthians 12:17-22.
If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary.
So this is the Apostle Paul is telling us that, look, we have all got different things to offer. We all have different ways of approaching our Christianity. And he's saying that's a good thing. And when you can learn to put all of those things together, you don't look at what you contribute as more important than others, but you look at what you contribute as a part of the whole along with others. That is how you create not only a firmer focus of your own Christianity, but by doing so, you are helping others to create a firmer focus of their Christianity. And when you put it together, you come up with an immovable force now.
When you're contributing, you really feel a part of things, and it just helps build you up.
And you know, and there's another step in between there. We mentioned the comment in the focus point, go beyond receiving to contributing and then to co-laboring. To contribute is to give something, perhaps, out of your abundance or whatever. But when you co-labor, you are completely engaged in what it is you're contributing. And the thought, I think, that Lori wrote was to co-labor, was to completely engage yourself, engulf yourself in whatever the opportunity is before you so that you can be a part of something much bigger. And that is, by itself, transformative.
Absolutely.
And Jonathan, what do we have time-wise before this segment ends? I think we're getting near the end.
20. 10 seconds.
10 seconds before the music?
Yep.
Okay. All right, thanks. All right, so folks, as we wrap up this hour, really what we're looking at is a very practical approach on how to make what we want our Christianity to be an actual reality. What we're saying is that by the input of so many different individuals, we can find practical, simple steps to really, truly change your life. In the second hour, we're going to get even more practical as to what to do with different parts of your day and your time. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, where do you start? We'll be back after the news and all that, but till then, think about it.
It's time to think about the Bible like you never have before. You're tuned into Christian Questions. Join the conversation now on air or online at ChristianQuestions.com and download our app by searching for Christian Questions Radio. Here's Rick and Jonathan.
Okay, Rick.
Okay, Winky Pratney once said, no matter how high the power of reason, no matter how deep the intellect, no one can discover God's secret messages without paying attention to the cost of true discipleship. Good morning. Welcome back. I'm Rick, and this is not your typical Christian commentary as we look at Bible-related topics from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what's going on this morning?
Well, Rick, our question this morning is, so where do I start? And our theme text is found in James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
So, Jonathan, the focus of today's program is real simple. The idea is to look at what does somebody do who's a new Christian and wants that Christianity to really, really change their lives, wants their Christianity to actually take over every aspect of their lives. What do you do? How do you do that? So that's a question that, you know, there's a lot of different ways to answer. So what we did is several weeks ago, we put that question out to several of the contributors, the Christian Questions staffers who just help us with all different kinds of things. many of which wrote back in what they, we asked for a piece of advice. What would you tell somebody who wants to get their Christianity going if they're kind of new? And we've been coming up with a lot of their thoughts, which are tremendous, inspirational, and profound thoughts that help us focus. And those thoughts have brought us to several focal points. So what are these focus points that we touched on in the first hour?
View the call to Christianity as exactly what it is, an invitation.
It's an invitation. You need to respond to the invitation. You need to dress appropriately if you're going to go to whatever you're invited to. You need to act in accordance with that that invitation, what it's requiring of you. What else?
Submit to God and His will daily, seeing each day as a new opportunity to submit.
Okay, submitting to God every single day, and that also means resisting the devil. You can't do one without the other.
Find what truly inspires you and hold it fast in your heart, mind, and hands.
And finding inspiration is so critical. Sometimes it changes as we grow, but the idea is find something that makes you want to move and do something with it.
How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Take small steps with daily inspiration, focus, and train your mind towards spiritual things.
Baby steps. And one of the great baby steps is to just take a scripture as a focal point for each and every day.
Learn to go beyond receiving to contributing and then to co-laboring.
You know, here's a newsflash. It's not all about you. It's all about the body of Christ. It's all about being a part of something that is much bigger than you are. So, Jonathan, those were some really great practical steps for us to look at in terms of getting our Christianity in order. So now we need to see, okay, what does that mean for my everyday? So let's go on to our next Christian questions staffer and see what she wrote.
Julie wrote, our journey is a real summed up, it's really summed up in the profound text of Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
And she continues, what does she write about the scripture?
Such a simple admonition. Do what's right. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. This pathway is one to peace, regardless of the storms going on in our lives. But easier said than done, right? Let's break it down in steps.
Okay, so she's saying, all right, here's a simple scripture, and you know, this really fits along with what Stephanie wrote about, you know, baby steps. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Sounds easy, but obviously there's a lot more to it than that. So what's her first step?
Surround yourself with light.
Okay, so she's going to suggest two different steps. And the first step is to surround yourself with light. Let's go to a scripture, then to a focus point, and then some really practical ways to do that. Surround yourself with light. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 to 6.
But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober.
Okay, you are sons of light, children of light, sons of the day. Light has got to be your whole motivating factor and focus in all of your life. Don't let your life go a moment without light. And that's such an important part of allowing your Christianity to truly transform you.
It really is, Rick, and I just want you to know we do have a caller when we're ready.
Okay. What's the focus point there here, though, before we go to the phones, in terms of dealing with this light?
Find and dwell in true light, for it will always overpower darkness if we let it shine.
And that's really the key. It's great to have light. You know, you could have the most powerful flashlight the world has ever seen, and when you're in a dark place, it's useless unless you turn it on. All right, Jonathan, let's go to the phone.
All right, well, we have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning. Rick, did the blizzard detour you?
Well, it just was my driveway's too long and the snow came too late and I couldn't plow out in time to get there. So
I understand. It's nice to have that option, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul didn't have that option.
No, he didn't.
No technology in his day. Anyway, to the question, really, I like your format. Surely different, isn't it? To have different ones. Yeah, that's great. Point number one, to qualify for this invitation, I'd just like to compliment the others. Beautiful thoughts, wonderful thoughts. Number one is to endure a self-deficiency, to endure a need. And number two, the scripture is Matthew 16:24. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, and that scripture that Julius mentioned really is a key fact, because it comes down to denying yourself. It comes down to saying, no, what I've always done and what I've always wanted and what I've always thought is no longer the important thing. It's what Jesus wants for me, and what I want to express in terms of his will through me, not what I want. And so what a great, great text to help us get this thing focused. Thanks, Julius, for the call. All right, so Jonathan, Julius' point was surround yourself with light. We read the scripture about being children of light, which is a wonderful thing. Let's get really, really practical here. What does that mean? And she listed, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 bullet points on surrounding yourself with light. Let's go through these.
Turn off the TV as much as possible. Don't watch violent, sexual, disturbing, and ethically challenged programs.
Okay, there's a very practical way to do it. And you know what? It may not be the most the easiest thing to do, because there's a lot of things that you want to watch, but what are you surrounding yourself with light?
Next point, don't spend your time on things that aren't going to bring positive influences in your life.
And again, garbage in, garbage out. That's the kind of thing. If you're programming a computer, if you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. If you're trying to feed your body healthy food or make yourself healthier, rather, garbage in is not going to produce a healthier person. So don't spend your time on things that aren't going to bring positive influences. What else?
Don't let worldly things influence you.
Okay, and I'm watching our time here. I'm not going to be able to say as much, so keep going.
Don't get caught up in having the best of everything or the latest, this or that.
Okay, don't get stuck wanting to, you know, keep up with the Joneses. I don't know who the Joneses are, and I don't know how they got to where they are, but, you know, they got a bad rap on this whole thing. What else?
Don't let people talk disrespectfully around you.
Speak up when there's foul language around you. You'd be surprised how people can learn to respect that.
Don't lie.
Simple.
Teach your children to be fair and honest.
You know, one small step at a time. I'm reminded of our program from last week on dealing with raising children and teaching them really basic principles of truth and righteousness.
Teach them to show mercy to others, even those that try to be mean to them.
Again, that is right out of the scriptures. You know, love your enemies.
Live upright.
Simple two-word admonition, so hard to do, to live upright.
Stand up for truth and for God when he is disrespected.
Don't be afraid to speak up. You don't have to argue, but just speak up and let people know that you have a love and appreciation for God Almighty in a world that seems to not care at all.
Pray.
There you go.
Pray to God that he grant you more knowledge and more desire to learn.
So it's good to have desire, but ask God for more desire to learn, because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Pray to him and let him know you. Seek understanding and peace, and want to know how best to bring him glory and to let the glory shine through you onto others.
And that really was reflected in so many of the previous points. So Julie just gives us a whole lot to work with here in terms of the practicality of making our Christianity the centerpiece of our lives. So to live in light is kind of wrapping these thoughts up at this point, is to make a choice over and over again that you will abide only where you can truly see, that you will work with integrity, that you will speak that which brings goodness, and that you will dwell on only those things that feed life. This is a daily baby step challenge. But if we have the right inspiration, we can take those daily baby steps and really focus on dealing with each and every one of these bullet points to help us focus our way through them and to be more than overcomers. And Jonathan, at this point, I just want to mention, folks, if you have not subscribed to Seek Your Rewind, the full edition, this would be a great program to do that for. Why would that be, Jonathan?
Absolutely, because there's graphics, there's illustrations, there's even bonus material that we don't have time to cover. And you can only get it at ChristianQuestions.com or through your app. It will lead you there also.
Yeah, and you know, all these bullet points we just read, they're all really great, but I'm sure you're going to forget most of them in the next 3 minutes.
And
Seek Your Rewind, the full edition, is going to have them all listed out for you so you can see it, so you can get your arms around it and say, okay, this is what I need to do. So please avail yourself of that. It is a free service.
And if you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255.
All right, Jonathan, let's go on to another scripture in terms of surrounding ourselves with light. 1 Thessalonians 5, we were in 1 Thessalonians 5 before. We're going to jump down now to verses 15 to 24.
See that no one repays anyone with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely and make your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass.
So there's so much good in those verses. This is surrounding ourselves with light. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. All of these things in that verse are daily and sometimes moment-by-moment choices to be inspired and to choose rightly. And that's really what it comes down to. So Jonathan, as we go into this break right now, it really comes down to finding a way to surround ourselves completely with light.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, so where do I start? Coming up, how do we keep ourselves surrounded by light? Is inspiration enough? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions. You're listening to Christian Questions. See videos, hear past shows, and talk to us at ChristianQuestions.com. Here's Rick and Jonathan.
Welcome back. Our subject for today is, so, where do I start? We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. Join our conversation by calling 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. Or you could message us on your app. And don't forget to sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition, so you see all the graphics and illustrations and all those bullet points that Julie gave us.
Yeah, and you know, the great thing about this particular program, Jonathan, is so many individuals contributed and really gave us the entire outline. All we did was put it in order and put it together and you know, transition from point to point. And the all of the advice is so incredibly practical and right on target that, look, even if you're not a new Christian, and Trish was talking to me during the last commercial break, you know, even if you're not a new Christian, this is a good program to check your life and say, okay, how am I doing? What am I focusing on? Where is my everyday in terms of my Christianity? So very, very practical stuff here for all of us. So what we've got so far is light, humility, inspiration, small steps, contributing. All are the ingredients for learning to live a Christian life. But there's more. To continue to live such a life, we need what's next. And let's go back to Julie's comments on what's next, her step two.
The more you know, the more you are amazed at what God has in store for you and your children and for all of us. You will sometimes shake your head in absolute disbelief at the coincidences that happen or the treasures you will find in Scripture. How did you get that knowledge? By reading and listening to resources that you can trust have truth. The Bible is the ultimate source. Look at different translations. I love the New Living Translation to read the Bible stories. It's not a word-for-word scholarly translation. It just tells the story in modern English. To understand it better, it will happen piece by piece, step by step.
So Julie's step two is to gain knowledge. You know, the first step was, how did she put it? She put it, surround yourself with light. And then the next step is to gain knowledge, to put yourself in a position where you can actually learn why you want to be surrounded with light, not just from the standpoint of theoretical application in everyday life, but from the standpoint of understanding the plan of God and how it relates to everyday life, today, tomorrow, and then forever. So now we come to another focus point here, and that is to realize that Christianity is a journey of experience, choices, and lifetime learning. 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 to 15.
Remind them of these things, and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth.
You know, it's easy to wrangle about words because we can all study, we can all think, and we can all conclude. Our learning, therefore, has to be done with diligence because, Jonathan, it's great to learn things, but what if you're learning the wrong things?
Ooh, that's a good point.
And it's not a good end result.
No.
So the idea is, you know, to be surrounded with light and then to gain knowledge. We want to know what the Bible really, really teaches. We want to know how it can actually change our lives. And also we want to know what the prophecies say so we can understand what's happening in the world around us. That's all part of this step of learning to put yourself in a position to be able to gain knowledge. And it really comes down to, you know, being fed spiritually.
Mm-hmm. And finding trustworthy sources is really one of Julie's big points.
Right. Find sources that you truly believe, see the scriptures for what they really, really are. And that's not an easy task.
No, it's not.
And so it's also a matter of picking up the fork and being able to feed yourself as well as being fed. So this is really where the rubber meets the road. You know, I was emailing a listener the other day, and he had asked a question about something or other, and my response to him, because it was on a kind of a deeper point, was that, you know, I've been at this my entire life, and I still feel like I've barely scratched the surface as to what I know and understand about Scripture. So it really is a lifetime experience of learning. Let's go to another one of our CQ staffers and see what she wrote in terms of advice for somebody trying to get their Christian life in order and in gear.
Ella wrote, "We need to study the Word, pray about what we're studying, and then check our studies with other Christians. Therefore, fellowship is most important. If we don't listen to others' ideas and consider the results of their studies, we become stuck in our own mindset, which may need some tweaking. Fellowshipping, if done with the right heart attitude, leads to understanding, not necessarily agreeing, but understanding another's views. This is very important since it is through fellowship that we learn to love our brethren. That is not always easy, but if we sincerely pray about it, God will give us the experiences we need to achieve the most important goal."
So Ella's comments are really about studying, about taking the responsibility to learn into your own hands and really truly applying yourself to that. Now, that doesn't mean, Jonathan, you don't listen to the teachings that are going to bring you to a clearer understanding of truth.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you say, well, you know, here's the other really dangerous thing, is sometimes a little bit of knowledge can be really, really dangerous. Because, okay, now we think, well, look, I know. I really know now what it's all about. So now I can go and continue to figure out the scriptures entirely on my own. And sometimes we get a little bit of knowledge, and unfortunately what happens is it plants itself inside of our hearts and minds in somewhat of a prideful way. And now we think that we got it all.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, and that's why in Ella's comment, she said, look, you got to study, you've got to make it your own, but then you got to check those studies against what others see and believe, whom you respect.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can learn to co-labor in our studies, that's where we can take our own thoughts and have them really work to give us greater spiritual growth, because our thoughts can now be checked against the thoughts of so many others and bottom line against Scripture itself.
Very good.
And, you know, one quick personal experience on that, because I think this is such an important point. For me, oftentimes when I'm studying, and this is absolutely a personal experience of my own learning process, when I'm going through some scriptures that maybe I don't understand as fully as I would like to, I'll read through them and I'll read other scriptures and so forth and go through notes and things, and at a conclusion will flash into my mind, and I'll take that conclusion and say, okay, this is a good thought. Let me see if this thought rings true with the rest of Scripture. And I will tell you, many times, Jonathan, it does. But many times, it doesn't. And as you go through the Scriptures, and I look at other Scriptures, say, no, that little conclusion doesn't hold up under the weight of these verses and this context. Therefore, that thought doesn't belong. So now you just say, goodbye, nice having you, but it's time for you to go. And then you allow the Scriptures to give you the right kind of thought. That's part of the process. That's why focusing on gaining knowledge is such an important thing, and it really does have to be done with humility. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a great quote along these lines.
Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ.
Discipleship. When you think about discipleship, we've been talking about studying. Well, what has studying got to do with discipleship? Studying, when you are a disciple, you are trying to learn of the master. You are trying to follow the master exactly. You don't do that just by watching. You do that by absorbing what the master has said and the context in which the master has said it. Jesus has said many, many things in the context of all of the Holy Scriptures. It is our daily challenge as Christians to try to put those words of Jesus as the centerpiece of Scripture in the context of the rest of Scripture, so we can see what the real true plan of God really is and how it works. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central, and that means we're on right now.
Christian Questions, a weekly habit that's good for you. Thanks for tuning us in every Sunday morning. Join our conversation any day and time at ChristianQuestions.com.
Okay, so now, you know, we're talking about discipleship, we're talking about study, we're talking about gaining knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12:27.
Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it.
So you see the two parts there? You're the body, which means that there's lots and lots of different parts to the body, but you are an individual member of it. So there's two things. You have to seize the fact that you're a member of the body at large, and you have to seize the fact that you're an individual member of it. And as that individual, you have to keep yourself as healthy as you possibly can. So along the lines of studying and learning and figuring out Christianity and figuring out Scripture, let's go to another one of our Christian Questions contributors, Debbie. What did she write?
Work with what you know for sure. You are thus saith the Lord. A turning point for me, I asked myself, what do you know? I was determined to worship what I knew and to investigate all else with God's guidance.
So, you know, it's really, really well said here, because what she's saying is, look, you know the thus saith the Lord. You know the for sure things. Now we've got to figure out the rest of the things to build upon the for sure things. And that's kind of like my own experience I was explaining before. Sometimes you come up with a thought that sounds good, sounds exciting, but just doesn't fit. So you can't take that thought just because it was your thought and it was such a good thought, and you can't try to twist the Scriptures to fit it. You have to go back to what Debbie says is, work with what you know for sure. You're thus saith the Lord. John 4:22-23.
You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers.
So those are the words of Jesus, and he is really focusing us on the whole process of making sure that we're following through along the right lines. And he talks about worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, what does he mean by that?
Well, remember, the Holy Spirit was going to be given at Pentecost, so he was pointing forward to when that day would be there.
So in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in truth. Now, here's the other challenge, and again, this ties in with the personal experiences and so forth. Sometimes, Jonathan, sometimes I think we confuse our spirit, our enthusiasm, our thinking with God's spirit.
Good point.
And it can lead us down the wrong road. And that's why it needs to have that real humility of wanting to learn. Yes, you have to do the studying on your own. You have to do all of those things. But it's so important to learn from those sources that you believe have truly been able to find real, real truth. Because, you know, I've been at this for a long time, Jonathan, and there's so much that I don't know. I need others to help me fill in those gaps. So what's our focus point here?
True Christianity is about maturing into one who is responsible for truth.
Maturing into one who is responsible for truth. Think about that, because if you're going to be a true Christian, you become responsible for truth. You don't not only become responsible for trying to live that Christ-like life and trying to live above the fray and trying to live in light and trying to be inspired and trying to contribute and co-labor, you know, and trying to see things only through Christ and trying to follow the invitation, but you are now responsible for truth. That's a big, big responsibility. So let's go back to a couple more lines of what Debbie wrote along these lines.
Thinking about this humbled me. Could I give an answer from my heart using logic and in faith? Do I have to have an answer for everything? Could I be wrong? Was I open to discussion?
So it's a matter of, okay, let's be humble in our approach to all of this. 1 Peter 3:15.
But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence.
So that verse really fits what her thinking is, okay?
It really does.
You know, you always want to be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you. But your answer isn't to, you know, smack them over the head and knock them out and say, ha ha, showed you. But it says, give an account for the hope that is in you with gentleness and with reverence. That's the way we're supposed to represent what it is that we've come to believe to be true Christian faith and principles. So we have to learn to have the right blend of humility mixed in with aggressive learning. And sometimes it seems like a strange thing to put humility and aggressive in the same sentence.
That's for sure.
But really, if you preface your aggressive learning with humility, then that learning can be very, very fruitful. Our learning is always subject to being derailed by our own ego. So we come back to baby steps. Baby steps are often necessary to overcome all of this. So Jonathan, you can see how all of these Christian Questions contributors and their advice to a new Christian on where do I start really is valuable, but we put it all together.
It absolutely is.
So as we end this segment, folks, we're talking about learning, talking about studying, and transforming our lives as a result.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, so where do I start? Coming up, are there things that we should focus on not doing? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions. 'Cause I feel alive. You're listening to Christian Questions. See videos, hear past shows, and talk to us at ChristianQuestions.com. Here's Rick and Jonathan.
Welcome back. Our subject for today is, so where do I start? We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 Eastern and 6 to 8 Central. That means we're on right now. Join our conversation by calling 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. Or you can message us on your app.
So, Jonathan, as we go into our final segment here, we're really, hopefully we've picked up some steam and created some momentum in terms of putting on the table several ideas about getting started if you're a brand new Christian, you're trying to figure things out. Lots of little pieces of advice that when you put them all together really give you a lot to choose from and hopefully some good practicality for today, tomorrow, and every day after. I understand we have a call.
Yes, we do. We have Arlene from Mystic. Good morning, Arlene, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. I'm enjoying your program.
Thank you.
I have a question I've been thinking about for a long time. Several years ago, I watched an interview with Billy Graham interviewing our former president, Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter had been married about 55 years at the time. And Billy Graham said to him, well, have you ever lusted in your heart for another woman during your long marriage? And Jimmy Carter said, well, maybe in my heart I have, but I've never followed through with it. So Billy said to him, well, lusting in your heart is just the same as following through. Now, I wondered about that. Does it work in the opposite direction? If you think all good thoughts about things you'd like to help people with and be a blessing to people, does it also work if you're thinking good thoughts, that it's as though you've done these good thoughts?
Okay, that's actually an interesting question. And first of all, I would actually be a little bit careful in terms of that interpretation of what Mr. Graham said about Mr. Carter, because I think that if you have an idea of lusting in your heart, you really have to define, well, what does that mean? Is it a thought that passes? Because thoughts pass through our hearts and minds all the time. And as long as we don't allow them to sit there, take hold, take root, and grow, that's what's going to happen in an imperfect human heart and human mind. So I think if you're lusting, quote unquote, but it's something that you make pass through and then get rid of, that's very, very different than allowing a lustful thought to grow in your heart. Okay?
Exactly. The part I was concerned is when I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking of all these wonderful things I'm going to do and all the homeless people I'm going to help and my friends I will help. But sometimes during the day, I don't follow through because I'm too busy. Is it as though I've done all these good deeds just because I've thought about them?
No. To be blunt, but you know, the idea, first of all, the idea is that the fact that you have the thought is a wonderful thing because it shows that your heart is in the right place. So now the challenge for our daily Christian walk is to take our heart being in the right place and having it transform into our hands being in the right place, because that's where our heart begins. So it's a great place to start. I don't want to discourage you. But it's not like you've done them, but it's like, this is what my desire is. How can I do more along these lines? And again, if you go back earlier in the program, one of our contributors was talking about taking baby steps. Don't try to feed all the homeless all at once. Try to do something for somebody one day, and then the next day, see if you can do that again and sort of build momentum. How's that?
That's true. I have tried that during my lifetime. And when I've helped one homeless person to find lodging and I bought them some soup and a meal at the senior center, one of the people at the senior center said, well, you can't help the whole world. But I said, well, it's important to that man. He'll be happy today anyway.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. Arlene, thanks so much for the call.
Okay. I'm enjoying your show. I listen every week. Thank you so much and God bless you.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Take
now.
Care.
Jonathan, that was a very, very, very important question.
Absolutely.
Because it helps to put things in perspective. And yes, have them in your heart. Then have them expressed through your hands, whatever it is, because that's what glorifies God. Let's go back to, you know, as we wrap up this program, Jonathan, are the things that we should focus on not doing? Well, Ella continued to write a little bit more. She was talking about studying, but what else did she write?
Stop thinking you are not worthy. Nobody is worthy, and yet we are called. When I was mentally considering whether I should consecrate to give my life to God or not, it was Romans 8 that did it for me. Romans 8, 28 through 39 are very faith-strengthening. If God called us, and is with us and is giving us this opportunity for eternal life, who are we to question him? We must move forward doing what he gives us to do and trust him to carry out the rest.
So, very, very well stated. Stop thinking you're not worthy. Because you know what? Nobody is worthy. But if God called you anyway, then who are you to stand in his way?
I like that.
So let's go through Romans 8, 28 through 39. We're going to break it into some pieces. Let's do Romans 8, 28 to 30 to start.
And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified.
Now, we don't have time to get into this in great detail, Jonathan, but this is a logical and sequential expression of the mind of God regarding his plan for our calling to follow Jesus. He's talking about all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And then he talks about the process. God doesn't just arbitrarily pick this thing or pick that thing. He's got processes and objectives in his mind when he does these things. And that helps us to see exactly that he has a purpose for us, and that's why he calls us. So what's the focus point here?
Learn to trust God's judgment on your behalf. That is not as easy as it sounds.
No, it's not. It really isn't as easy as it sounds, but it is as necessary as it sounds to learn to trust God's judgment on your behalf. Make sure that we are trusting his judgment, because he's the one who does the calling. He's the one who wrote the plan. He's the one who created it all. So I would think that his judgment just should weigh a little bit more heavily in my mind than mine. What do you think?
You think? Absolutely.
So Ella was saying, okay, you know, stop thinking that you're not worthy. Nobody's worthy, yet we're called. And then she said, you know, we have to focus on being more than conquerors. Now we go back to Romans 8, verses 31 through 39.
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us.
Okay, so let's just pause there after verse 34. And the phrase, if God is for us, who is against us? You know, if we can really grasp and understand that statement for what it really means, that changes everything.
It shows true trust, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, and if we can say, okay, if God's for us, who can be against us? Now, does that mean you're going to come out victorious in everything? No. Does that mean that, you know, you're going to pass through every trial and there's not anything going to affect you? No. I mean, think about the stoning of Stephen. Remember the first Christian martyr in the New Testament?
That's right.
Did he win that battle or did he lose that battle?
He won it.
Right. But it cost him his life in doing so.
It did indeed.
So that's the process, and it's okay for things to cost us if we are about our Father's business. So let's continue then now, Romans 8, 31 to 39. Let's pick up the verses 35 to 37.
Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us.
Okay, so who can separate us from the love of Christ? None of those things can separate us. It doesn't mean you're not going to have them happen to you.
That's right.
What it means is that when those things happen, those things can draw us to the love of Christ, not make us question if the love of Christ is in our lives. But Jonathan, you only get to that point once you've gained some maturity. And you can only gain some maturity, honestly, if you go through some of the several steps and suggestions and advice that we've talked about through this entire program.
And really, it's only ourselves that can take us away from the love of Christ. That's the problem.
That's the only thing that's not on that list.
Yeah.
is ourselves. Exactly. And now verses 38 and 39.
For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
It doesn't mean that we won't have hardship and difficulty and failure and, you know, falling flat on our face and times of feeling depressed and alone and saying things we're not supposed to say and doing things we're not supposed to do and thinking things we're not supposed to think. It doesn't mean those. What it means is that if we want our Christian life to be the focus of our life, that those mistakes, those challenges, those difficulties will serve as stepping stones so that we can move forward and move up in our maturity level. And finally, Ella finished her comments saying, lastly, do not fear. Fear is Satan's tool. And this is just another one of those really, really important aspects of, especially for a new Christian. It's a scary thing to be standing in a position to say, I am going to be a footstep follower of Christ. Because it's not all rose petals. There's lots and lots of thorns. I mean, Jesus wore a crown of them in his crucifixion. So we need to be able to take and understand the thorns in our lives. And how do you do that? You rely on Jesus. John 14:27.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful.
Jesus is speaking those words the night before his crucifixion. He is focusing us on the fact that he did it first, and therefore we don't have to be worried. So what's our focus point here?
Trust to the point that you will not act based on your fear, but will act based on God's will.
Okay, big difference. Doesn't mean that fear is just going to flee away from you, and because you're a Christian, you're no longer ever fearful. It means that you act based on faith and God's will rather than fear. Luke 12:32.
Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom.
You think about that for a second, Jonathan. The Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom.
Now, that's awesome. It's humbling.
So what makes you so good?
Nothing.
then why has he chosen gladly to give you the kingdom?
Well, because of Jesus' faithfulness.
And because of our willingness to follow after Jesus' faithfulness and our willingness to really work at humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. But it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I mean, that's an awesome thought. He wants to. It's not like, okay, yeah, you did what you were supposed to, here it is. I mean, read Isaiah 41:13.
For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you.
And Jonathan, the Bible is full of promises. The Bible is full of scriptures that help us really focus our attention because God knows how weak we are in our sinful state. And as a matter of fact, I think next week's program is all about God keeping his promises. So, folks, please stay with us for that next week because, really, we're going to get into a lot of the practicality of the promises of God. So, Jonathan, as we wrap this up, read Ella's final statement here.
There are so many scriptures telling us not to fear, that God is in control of our coming and going. He knows exactly what is going on in our lives and wants us to trust him. Write down some of the promises that are helpful to you, memorize them, and most importantly, keep them in your heart. God loves you and he will never leave you, so don't leave him. Amen.
Folks, there's been so much good information given out in this program. We want to thank all of those folks who wrote in and gave us their advice for Christians who are getting started in their lives, trying to put things in order. What do you do? How do you act? What do you think? Where do you go? All of these things have been addressed. Take this program and use it as a tool to help you be faithful day after day after day, moment by moment,
baby step by baby step, inspiration by inspiration, co-laboring by co-laboring, and see how your Christianity grows and develops. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we hope you've enjoyed being with us today. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But till then, where do you start? Oh, there's so much good, so don't wait. Get started. Till next week, think about it.